Good morning. How you guys doing? Good. I want you to turn to the person on the left and say, Happy Sunday. All right, now turn to the person to the right and say, Happy Labor Day weekend. Yeah. Hopefully you made a new friend. Hey, Happy Labor Day weekend. How many of you guys have plans this weekend? Anything going on? A lot of you are like, nope. We're just chilling at home. I was going to plan a barbecue, but I heard that there's the men's barbecue this upcoming Saturday, which I'm really excited about. Guys, where are you at? Yeah, I heard it. Yeah. Let's try that again. Men's barbecue this Saturday. Where are you at? Hey, there we go. So I'm going to pause on the barbecue tomorrow. So I want to invite you to that on Saturday. It's going to be really cool. Make sure to sign up with my boy Larry outside. You can sign up there. Man, I'm excited to jump in today. I'll give you an intro of who I am if you're brand new to Encounter. My name's Austin. I'm the youth pastor here. So I get to hang out with our middle school, high school, and now young adults. And I love my job. I love to be able to preach the word up here on stage with you today. So I'm so glad that you joined with us today to hang out at Encounter. And we're going to jump into scripture right away. So I want you to flip to Colossians. If you have your Bibles, I want you to flip to Colossians. You'll see a Bible in front of you. If you don't have one in the seat back pocket, I would love for you to grab that one. If you have yours, let's go. I want to always encourage you to bring your Bible to church. That's like bringing your homework to class. Like I want to make sure that you know how important it is to bring your Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, I have Bibles. So I'd love to give you a brand new one. You could steal that Bible that's in that seat back pocket in front of you. Okay, just take that. All right, you probably haven't. A pastor saying steal, but it's okay. Just take that Bible. It's going to be okay. I would love for you to do that. I'll just replace it. All right. I'm excited to jump into, we are week two in a series called Above All, where we're going to be walking through the book of Colossians. And what's really cool about it, and being the youth pastor, I always get to just slide in information of youth ministry for two reasons. One, because I want you guys to know about the church. And two, it connects with what we're reading today and going through for this new series. Every year in youth ministry, we have a vision of where we want to send our teenagers for the year. And so when we start with the school year, what we do is we present a theme or a vision for them every single year. And there's prayer behind it, there's thought. We meet as a team and we look through it of why we're going to do it. We have conversations with our students, and so we're not just making it up thinking this is what's best for them. It's what they have been showing us that we then mold and shape together. And so this next year, our theme is called Sanctuary. And so in Sanctuary, what it is we want to create a sacred refuge place for our teenagers to ask and to shape and transform their lives and find out who Jesus is. And so we are walking through the four different books of Paul's prison epistles, which is one of them is Colossians. And so you are getting to see a part of what even our students are going to be going through. And the reason why we shaped that is this past year, when you have conversations with students, you hear a lot about in some of their darkest places is where God reveals himself most to them. And so the cool part is when we're going to talk about in a second, maybe a lot of you know, but Paul is teaching out of a prison cell. And so it doesn't sound like a sanctuary, right? That doesn't sound necessarily like the safest place. But that's where Paul becomes one of his most important letters that he writes is in the middle of what we call his sanctuary, a sacred place that he's created to praise God, to pray to God, and to encourage others through his letters. And so we want to encourage our students that in some of their darkest places that might feel like a prison cell, you can still find the most fruitful moments where God can reveal himself to you. Not only for yourself, but to encourage the people around him. And so you see that in the letter of Colossians. And so today when we walk through some parts here, I think it's encouraging to know that the entire church is seeing it. That it's not just seeing in this room, but ages 11 to 18 are also going to be processing the same scripture that you guys are going through. So for the parents in the room, I hope you find comfort in that. Because then when you go home or when your kid comes home on a Wednesday, you can say, I know what you're reading. I know you're going through the letters of Paul. So let's talk about it. So I hope that sets you up really well for some of those moments like that. Before we jump into, I want to pray because praying is important before we jump into scripture to make sure our minds are good before we jump into that. So you join me in prayer by closing your eyes, bowing your heads. God, we thank you for this weekend. Father, we thank you for those in this room who have tomorrow off, and we just have this rest and this break. We're going to take a deep breath. And God, I thank you so much for this place on a Sunday, God, where what feels like a nice break today from the heat, where God, we get to sit and read your word. And Father, we know that there's something here in the scripture today for us. And God, I pray that you will reveal that to us. And with all the different people in the room, God, we know that the different themes for today could stick to one of us. And God, I pray right now that when we leave, that we don't leave the scripture in this room. God, that today we hear your word more important than anything else we hear. God, we thank you so much for allowing us to be in this space right now, just to encounter you, God, that we can continue to transform and change our life because of who you are and how you reveal yourself through your word. Speak to us today. Be with us as we surrender at your feet. God, I pray that in this moment, we don't treat it as just another passing transition of life, but we look at this as a meaningful moment to encounter you in a deep way. God, we praise you. We thank you. And we just continue to always ask for safety and guidance in our life that we have in this faith journey. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. 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 All right, we're going to jump into Colossians. If you're in Colossians, say a word. Chapter 1, verse 9. So we're going to take off where John kicked us off last week. You might have heard how he kicked off. We talked about thankfulness, and he gave the story of how he ran the stop sign, which I want to let you know, as one of your other pastors, I would never do that. I would never, ever just, of course. I run them on purpose. He does it on accident. That's the difference. I'm kidding, of course, kind of. Man, he opened us up really well in the book of Colossians. We've got to see Paul's letter to the church of Colossae. And he is with Timothy, and you see the words of how he is now going to encourage this small church. And what he does is he gives what I call instructions or guidance. And like the stop sign that John shared last week, of how important that is, of it gives us the boundaries. It gives us the right ways of what it looks like to be a Christ follower. And that's important because we can't just accept Christ and then continue to live the life that we think we can live on our own understanding, but we want to go by what the Lord gives us. And so this letter, although it's for this church specifically, we get to pull out the themes of it and look at it for modern day and in our culture now, individually in our lives and our relationships with Christ. We get to apply it, which is the best part about scripture. We get to look at the history of it. We get to observe it. We want to interpret what it says. And then as you leave, we want to apply it. That's the goal for today, is we want to leave and say, that is going to change my life. That could be a very big step or just tiny steps of desire towards Christ. So I want to read it all the way through of where we're going to hang out today. And I want you to hold on to it today. And then what we're going to do is kind of break it down into sections. But just so you know the background, Paul, right? Paul is in a prison cell and he's writing this letter. And it's really encouraging when you see this, because to see how his heart is, you can hear you can see how Paul is sharing, and that could be the theme you leave with today. It's like, man, I love the way Paul shares about that. And some of the hardest moments that we would probably have to be in a prison cell to share, he's sharing encouragement for the fellow believer in Christ. And so maybe some of you are already like, that is the reason myself that I'm glad I'm here today, because I'm in a place where it feels dark, like a prison cell, and I want to turn that into a sanctuary. I want my place of life right now to be a place of encouraging for others, because that's what Paul's doing. Paul's writing this letter, and he's trying to encourage them. And so what we see from where John took us off is how thanking God for, and then today is going to be praying to God for. That's where you see that transition there of how there's thanking God for what we saw last week. And now we're going to go into he's praying to God for. And then we're going to focus on the words there. And the whole thing is going to be surrounded by, spoiler alert, of staying close to God. Okay, staying close to God and how that matters. That when we want to have the wisdom through this prayer that Paul gives, that happens by staying close to who God is. And we'll find out what that looks like through these words. If you're there, say a word. We're going to jump into verse 9 here. If you're there, say word. All right, that's enough. Okay, here we go. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Verse 10. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We're going to stop there. Paul continues in his letter after giving some thoughts of thankfulness, and all of a sudden he begins to share what he's praying for. So I want you to imagine that he's praying to this small church, trying to encourage the new believer who is in a place where they're trying to share their faith with other people who've already have a faith in something else, and the challenge that comes with it. And he says, I want to just encourage you. I want to let you know what our prayers look like. I want to keep you in the loop of every day of how we're praying continually, that you become this person that, boom, and you see how he lays it all out. And so what I want to do today is I just want to walk through it. I want to stick to the scripture here, and I want to walk through a little bit. I'm going to invite you to underline or highlight. So there are some pens in that seat back pocket as well. Feel free to do that. I encourage our teenagers all the time to do it, because I want their Bibles to be marked up, just like for you guys, so then when their youth workers or small group leaders aren't there, they know where to look. They flip to it on accident one day and they see it and they're like, oh yeah, I remember that and I needed that. So I want the same thing for the adults in the room. So what we're gonna do is I'm just gonna run through it a little bit, and what we're gonna do is I'm gonna tell you some things to highlight if you're willing. I would love for you to do it. And I've got a few points. Points are gonna connect to some of the points that Paul gives us in the scripture. And then I wanna leave with just a quick challenge for us as we leave into Labor Day weekend together. So let's start at the beginning, and I'll tell you where to highlight if that is you, and then we can go from there. The beginning says, for this reason, so you have to see the reflection of what he's just shared. So for the reason above, when you have verses 3-8, he says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Since the day that he heard about everything they're going through, we have not stopped praying about you. This shows the character of Paul. He says, I'm going to continue to pray. And he says it. We continually to ask God to fill. I want you to highlight the word fill. He begins to share here how he is saying we're going to nonstop be praying for you. Not a one-time prayer because someone told him to. They're going to continue to pray. And he's going to pray what? That God is going to fill you. And I love this word fill because I want us to picture what that looks like. Almost having a cup and he's asking God to fill it, almost like with water. He's not saying just a splash or a couple drops. He's saying, I want you to be full. Like, I want your cup to be full of the prayer that I'm asking to the Lord. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives. So he wants you to be filled up. Fill you with what? The knowledge. I want you to highlight the word knowledge of his will. We talk about God's will. Here's how I've learned this when I was in college. One of my professors always said this, and it stuck with me. Then we talk about the knowledge or getting to know more about God's will. It says between two things, the wisdom and the understanding. I want to understand the will that he has for us. And it was always this. God's will is God's plan, his commands, his demands, and his desires. I'll say those again, just in case you want to write those down or hear it again, or if I lost you with, because it kind of rhymes. God's plans, his commands, his demands, and his desires. God's overall plan, right? God's plans for us. The plan that he has, and all of these circling and surrounding Christ. So God's plans for us, and God's plans that even he has beside us. Then you have the commands that he gives us. Then you have the demands that he asks of us. Then he has the desires that he calls us to, the things that we also want to desire when we stay close to Christ. So when we talk about the knowledge of God's will, that's what we think of. His plans, the commands that he gives, the demands that he asks. And then it ends with the desires of who he is and what he wants for his people. But all of that through two things, the wisdom and the understanding, which both come by staying close to who Christ is. But that happens, it says, that the Spirit gives. So when you accept Christ and you have the Spirit within you, that is what's given. That when we stay close to who Christ is, the Spirit then produces and has this wisdom and understanding of knowing the knowledge of his will. Then he goes into verse 10 here, which I think is really important. When it says the Spirit gives, here's the results in it, right? It says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. That you may live a life worthy. Here's why this becomes important for us. Because that means the day-to-day life that we live must be worthy enough that God would be pleased. And when I first read this, I'm like, man, that sounds almost like an impossible task. Like, you're calling it something that's very, very difficult. But I think it's something we strive towards, because the life you are living is a reflection of the God you follow, which is important for me, and I hope that's important for you. That the life you are living is a reflection of the God you follow. So we're saying, hey, the day-to-day life is going to be the reflection of the God that you follow, so that when people around you see you, they see Christ. So they don't miss Christ in your life because of the missing actions, but everything we do, the wisdom that we connect with and the understanding that the Spirit gives, that then the life that we live is worthy. And it does please him in every way, not just some ways, not just on Sundays or for our teenagers or just on Wednesdays. Like, it's saying in every way, in everything we do, that people will see who Christ is from the way we live. Then he goes into this important part. And this is where I want to connect you. I'm not going to give you all the points at the very end. I'm going to go throughout now. Okay, so if that's you who write notes, I want to go through four different sections and points that connect to this. Because what we can do then is find out, man, how can we break this out more, write these down, and connect these to our heart, and say, oh, I understand them more than when we do leave, it all makes sense to us. So here's what he then goes on to say. Now that we understand his overall theme, I like to picture this as if it's like an essay. Like, he's given us the thesis statement, now he's given us the evidence, and then he's gonna have the conclusion where it's like final charge to us, okay? So this is like the explanation of what he just said. Saying, man, I've been praying to God that he fills you with the knowledge. And that comes through the wisdom and understanding. And all of that comes produced by the Spirit within you. And that every single day, your life will look like Christ. These are some ways that it's going to look. And here's how he begins to share. Bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. Here's the point I have for you. Live out the life he asks of us. Live out the life he asks of us. Because here's what's cool. When you're producing fruit in every good work, that could be the small work or very big work, whatever it is, there should be something produced that is a reflection of who Christ is in your life. So the things that we do in the day-to-day life, the daily grind, that should be producing, bearing good fruit in every good work, that we then get to live out the life that he asks us. So in Scripture, if we're following what he says and staying close to Christ, when we do that, there should be fruit of the good works that we then have, the reflection of having relationship, not because really it adds more to our life or an extra points on a Christian of who we are, but it is the reflection of having the relationship with Christ. I want to make sure you hear that though, because some of us think we need to do more when really that's not, we need to understand what God already did for us, right? So when we understand that, it's not adding more to it, but it is a reflection of the new life we live, that all of that comes from the transformation and the change that happens with both the hope that we have and the healing of Christ. And because of that, we then get to bear the fruit. But it changes who we are. So we look at live out the life he asks us. It changes who we are. I'm going to apologize here in a second. I'm going to give two Disney references in this sermon. I just spent 3 or 4 days at Disneyland right now with my family, and I'm like, my brain is still singing It's a Small World, okay? So I when I was writing this and putting this together, like, these were popping up. So if you don't like Disney, just close your ears, okay? Just go like this. In Pocahontas, there is a part where this grandmother Willow, all right, she's like a talking tree. Just stick with me, okay? You're like, what kind of sorcery? Okay, at one point, she drops her finger or leaf. She's a tree. Stick with me here, okay? Into the water. And in that moment, it makes a ripple in this calm water. And it makes a ripple, and it starts small, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And she shares this quote that says, "So small at first, but look how they grow." So we talk about when we want to live our life where he asks of us and want to bear the good, the produce the fruit of the good works, that starts by making small steps. Because the small ripple of changing, of really understanding the transformation within us, changes the things we do. It's no longer about ourselves, but about Christ. And so all good works, all the things that we do reflect who he is. That's why when it produces or bearing good fruit, it's a reflection of the relationship we have with Christ that can start small, but as it ripples, it becomes bigger and bigger and completely changing who we are. And it says, look how it continues to grow. So you start small, even in your life, Even if that's producing the fruit, that could be something very easy and small for you, like showing up on a Sunday, or maybe praying in the morning every day of the week, or maybe just reading the verse of the day, or maybe actually signing up for a group. Like, there's a connection there that what's going to be produced is going to be from the good works that you're clinging to when you're staying close to Christ. So he kicks us off by saying, bearing fruit in every good work. And I want us to know that we get to live out that life he asks us. And what that does is it changes who we are. All right, he continues. Number two, get to know the Creator. I want you to write that down. Get to know the Creator. He continues in verse 10. So he says, so that you may live the life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. And he gives the examples. Bearing fruit in every good work. Growing in the knowledge of God. Growing in the knowledge of God. Here's what's cool about this. I want you to highlight this whole part. Growing in the knowledge of God. We want to get to know who God is, right? Having more information of who he is. Having the knowledge. But it says growing in that. So I want to stand up here and remind you that you do not know it all. Some of you are like, don't say that to me. You don't know it all. And when we get to a place that we think we do, I think we're missing a lot of what God can reveal to us. If we're like, man, I think I know enough already of who Christ is. No, you don't. Because in this verse, it says growing in the knowledge of God. It doesn't say you already grew. It's like you're going to constantly continue to grow. But to do so, we need to get to know the Creator. We need to know what it looks like if we want to have the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit produces within us. What that does is we get to grow in the knowledge of God. We get to know who he is. Here's an example. Buddy right here. If me and Buddy, if I want to get to know him, I need to spend time with Buddy, right? I need to be in the places of his life that are not just going to, I know of him. I want to get to know who he is. So I need to spend time with him. I need to know his ups and his downs, his past, what it looks like in his life right now, the ways I can pray for Buddy. Like, that matters. So if I want to get to know my Creator, I need to spend time with him. I need to spend time and listen to his words. And the best part is that's called the Bible. Like, you get to spend time in the words that he's already given us. You get to talk to him. You get to pray to him. And I will remind you right now, and I tell our youth workers this and our students, you can't suck at praying. You can't suck at praying. Talk to the Lord. How you talk to your best friend is how you can talk to God. He already knows. He just wants to see if you're willing to talk to him. Here's what else is cool about it. You get to listen to him. You get to pick up the phone. You get to talk to him and tell him everything. And then you get to sit there in silence. And so if you want to get to know the Lord and grow in the knowledge of him, you need to also listen to what he's saying to you. That means we need to stop talking and start listening to what he's saying. And that could be some of the most uncomfortable parts for us as Christians and believers, is to sit in silence and waiting for him to answer the prayers that we're asking him. And I've said this before in a sermon, but it's hard to listen to what the Lord's already saying when you have already planned what you want him to say. That's not how that works. So if we want to grow in the knowledge of God, like it says, growing in the knowledge of God, we want to get to know him, we want to talk to him, and we want to listen to him. Not what you think he's already going to say, but what he's actually going to reveal to you. So get to know the Creator. But what I love about this, it's not just knowing, but growing. Don't miss that. Not just knowing, but actually growing. I went to Disneyland this past couple of days. My father-in-law went with us. His name's David. And David's been going to Disneyland for a long, long time. It's really cool to go with him. He takes care of us. He loves his daughter, which is my wife, and I get to see the reflection of that, and it's a special place for him. And it's cool, and even now to this day, every time we go with him, and he's taken me since I was a teenager, and he still points out random things at Disneyland that I don't know, right? He'll talk about this Walt Disney lamp, or he's like, on Matterhorn, if you go this way, it's crazier, and this one, you get wet. Like, he just knows more information because he spends a lot of time at Disneyland. He's been going for years and years and years. He didn't go one time and know all the knowledge. He knew about it. So I get to learn from him, and I get to see how much he knows about it because he spends a lot of time in it. The same thing for us. If we want to know more about who God is, we need to spend time with God. It's like this. Maybe I'll give you another example. When I was in high school, I took German. I didn't take Spanish. I took German. I was like, I'm just going to try and figure it out. It took a few years. I did okay. And so do I speak German now? Absolutely not, right? But I practiced and I did the homework. Then when I graduated high school, or in my senior year, I had a German exchange student come and live with us for a year. His name was Yannick Novak. He became one of my brothers, right? We shared a room for a whole year, our senior year of high school. He was from Germany. He just wanted to live here and experience American life. And it was amazing. Like, we're literally brothers now. And so I learned from him. And then after high school, I went and spent a few months in Europe. And I lived at his house and went to his school and traveled Europe a little bit. But I hung out in Germany for a while. I learned more about the German culture, about the language in Germany, when I lived in Germany. Like, when I lived there, I knew more about it, more than I was just studying it in class. So I had to, like, place myself in it and be surrounded in it to learn more about it. I want you to place yourself in the scripture. I want you to place yourself in the relationship with Christ. I don't want you to go from a distance and just hear about it one day a week. Imagine you're going to learn a language just one day a week. But instead, you could be in it. Like, embrace yourself in the culture, embrace yourself in everything that it holds. When you do so, imagine what that life change would look like. Imagine how much German you would know. Like, that's what it looks like to have the knowledge of God, to be placing ourselves within that. Because that's how life change begins. That's how we get to know the God that we follow. I want to continue. Number three, climb the uphill battle. Climb the uphill battle. I'll explain it with this. Verse 11. Being strengthened, as he continues, he says, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Climb the uphill battle. At this point, I kind of look at how he lists this in this letter for this church and for us today as we read it. He kind of gives this, like, these stepping stones. I want you to start by living this life out every day. And in that life, I want you to have good works by producing the fruit, and I want you to grow because of that in the knowledge of who God is. So if you want to have your daily life look like you're producing the fruit that's from the good works, you got to spend time with God and know him. But then he shares here, but I want you to be strengthened in it. I want you to climb that uphill battle because it's probably going to be hard. Like, for you in this room, from doesn't matter if you just accepted Christ or maybe you have the desire and you're still, like, trying to figure it out, over here where you've been a Christian for a long, long time, you know that you need strength. Like, you need help. It is not by your own strength, but his. And it says that. Being strengthened, that's what we want, with all power. It's not talking about our own, though. According to his glorious might. His, not our own. So by his glory, not our own. The strength comes from him. So that you may have great endurance, that you can keep going, and patience. Because when we live out this life, we want to be a Christ follower, and we have these instructions here. When you're like, I want to spend every day with Jesus. I do. I want to get to know him more. That really means shifting and changing your life. That means saying no to what you want and saying yes to what Christ wants. That's really difficult. It's actually really hard to do. Which is why I love the verse 11, because it's saying we can be then strengthened, and it gives us endurance, which means just to keep going, and the patience when things don't go the way we want. So picture that in your life. When God's giving you the strength, when he's saying, I want to give you that strength to actually spend every day with me. I want to give you that to really produce that, to produce the fruit of the great work that you're doing. I want that for you, but you can't do it on your own. So let me provide the strength with you, for you, and who you are. I'm going to give you endurance. I'm going to tell you to keep going. You got this. Because in my own life, there's so many times where I wanted to give up, but I'm glad that the Spirit within me produced. Say, no, keep going. Be patient. It will work out. Even if that looks different than what you were then praying for, I got you. I will be with you. So climb the uphill battle. And when we do, we get to verse 12. In giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Number four is always say thank you. John did a great job last week of sharing this. There's some cool moments where even when he gave the challenge of us thanking people and being grateful. I even got like a text during service and I was like, what is that? Like, that is just so cool how that played out. And you see it again, the words of even John shared through the script. You see it here, right, where it says, giving joyful thanks to the Father. What I love about that is saying, giving thanks to the one who's creating it all. But it makes it even more specific. He says, who's now qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people. The inheritance of the holy people who he freed from Egypt. Like, he's telling this small church, saying, you are now a part of a bigger group of people. You're a part of the family now. Like, I want you to continue to thank the Father, because you're not just a part of some separate group that is seeing it on the outside. Like, you are now in the club. You are with us. Like, you're a part of this holy people, the inheritance that I'm giving in the kingdom of light. So it's important to always say thank you to the Father, because we are now included in a group that we thought we weren't allowed to be a part of. Like, that could just be for me. That there's so many moments in my life where I'm like, I don't fit into the Christian status quo. Like, I don't think I fit into that, because I still sin. Like, I still struggle. It's like, no, I want to include you in this, because you are now a part of a way more important group that I love, that you now get to be a part of because you accepted what my son did for you. Like, you understand my plan. You understand the desires that I have for you. And because of that, you are now a part of inheritance of the holy people. And he ends with this. I mentioned earlier, this is kind of like the conclusion. I love this, and I don't want you to miss verse 13. Maybe even more important than the other ones, but I think they're all great. But this is just important to hear, because I think this is a prayer for us every single day. I think these words help me every single day. Verse 13, for he has rescued us. I want you to highlight that. Rescued us, which means we need saving. Some of you might be missing that part. Some of you don't think you need saving, but you're lost. And then it says, from what? From the dominion of darkness. Whoa. The authority, the grip, the stronghold of darkness. He's saying, you were rescued from that. But it doesn't just end there. It says, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So you're going from this dominion of darkness, this dark place that he rescues you from, and he's willing to put you in the kingdom of who his son is, who is Christ Jesus, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Like, that just shares a little bit about what Jesus did. And then that talks about the plan that God has through Christ, always focusing on that. For he has rescued us. Like, I don't want you to miss that every day we need to be rescued. Every day we need to be rescued. Because we constantly live in a life of sin and we struggle. But every day is a day where we get to start again, knowing that Christ died for us. That we now live in the kingdom of what the Son did, which has redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And the sins part connect back to the dominion of darkness, because that's what he's rescuing us from. We can't forget that. So I want to make sure you hear that today, that we need to live a life like you've been rescued. Like, I want you to live a life that meant you have been rescued. I picture this, and I say this with the students. Like, imagine there was a fire, and you were inside it. And the firefighter comes in, and he rescues you and pulls you out and saves your life. You were rescued. You turn to him. You're not going to punch him in the face. You're not going to yell at him. You're not going to ignore him. What you're going to do is probably hug him and weep and cry and say, thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for saving me. That's what we should be doing every single day. That God rescued us from the dominion of darkness, from a place that we were stuck in, saying that we now get to live in the kingdom of his son, Christ Jesus. And in this kingdom where we will find redemption and we will find the forgiveness of the sins that rescue us from the darkness in the first place. That we now get to live a life of freedom, of a rescued life. So overall, you have Paul's prayer here. That gives us the example of saying we need to have more wisdom and knowledge and understanding and spiritual wisdom to do so when produced by the Spirit. We need to spend more time with who God is. That's how we have the knowledge of who God is. That's how we then get to bear and produce good fruit of the works that we have. That's how we then get to be strengthened, because we know that this uphill battle is gonna be hard. But within us, it's gonna be produced of endurance to keep going. And the patience when things don't go the way we want. To stick through it when it's going to be hard. When there is gonna be pain and sorrow. But in all of it, then we then get to give the joyful things to the Father and say, thank you. Because you now are including us in something that we thought we were gonna be excluded from. You invited us into the club, this inheritance of the holy people, that through it all, we remember what the Son did, who rescued us. And so my challenge today is this: are you living a life like you've been rescued? Like, are you treating the everyday life that you have as if you've been rescued by Christ? And I don't just mean the one decision of accepting Christ into your heart and having that relationship. I mean on a daily level. Like, if you talk to someone in here who's had a relationship with Christ for a long, long time, you can probably hear them say, I fail often. I surrender to him more. I love the Lord. I'm a sinner. I mess up. I talk to the Lord. I spend time with him. I listen. So today when you leave, I want you to ask yourself, are you living a life like you've been rescued? Because no matter what, if we put Christ first above all else, that's where life change happens. That's where we are transformed. That's where we get to live out the rescued life. Let me pray. God, I pray right now, God, that we in this room, Father, we don't lose sight of what you are doing within us, that you're stirring something within us, God. Because, Father, your scripture spoke to us today, and there's lines in it that are gonna stick with us as we leave. And so, Father, I pray that we don't leave it here, but God, that when we look at a life that honors you, when we get to follow you, Father, that it's in these guidelines, these instructions, what we hear Paul share, God, you remind us of how important it is to get to know you. And I mean on a deeper level, God, and I pray now that we get to, that we spend more time with you, that we don't just spend a Sunday for an hour and a half getting to know you and call it good, but God, that we get to spend more time with you because we want to get to know you and grow in the knowledge of our God, the one that rescued us, that sent us, your Son, to save us from the dominion of darkness that we thought was a strong grip, but you released it and you said, no, you get to now live in the kingdom of the Son who rescued you. So God, thank you for rescuing us. Because Father, we needed the saving. And God, thank you for tomorrow when we also need the saving and the rescuing again. And again, and again. We continue to follow your feet and surrender everything we have to you. So God, I pray for the wisdom. I pray for the understanding. I pray that the Spirit within us produces that, God. That we see more of who you are, and we love you more because of it. Amen.